During the month of Kartik, Damodar is prayed to as follows. Quote, My dear Lord, you are the Lord of all, the giver of all benedictions. Unquote. There are many demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva who sometimes offer benedictions to their respective devotees. For example, Ravan was blessed with many benedictions by Lord Shiva, and Hiranyakashipu was blessed by Lord Brahma. But even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma depend upon the benedictions of Lord Krishna, and therefore Krishna is addressed as the Lord of all benefactors. As such, Lord Krishna can offer his devotees anything they want, but still the devotee's prayer continues, quote, I do not ask you for liberation or any material facility up to the point of liberation. What I want as your favor is that I may always think of your form in which I see you now as Damodar. You are so beautiful and attractive that my mind does not want anything besides this wonderful form. Unquote. In the same prayer, there is another passage in which it is said, quote, My dear Lord Damodar, once when you were playing as a naughty boy in the house of Nanda Maharaj, you broke the box containing yogurt, and because of that, Mother Yashoda considered you an offender and tied you with rope to the household grinding mortar. At that time, you delivered two sons of Kuvera, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, who were staying there as two Arjun trees in the yard of Nanda Maharaj. My only request is that by your merciful pastimes, you may similarly deliver me. Unquote. The story behind this verse is that the two sons of Kuvera, who is the treasurer of the demigods, were puffed up on account of the opulence of their father. And so once, on a heavenly planet, they were enjoying themselves in a lake with some naked damsels of heaven. At that time, the great saint Narad Muni was passing on the road and was sorry to see the behavior of the sons of Kuvera. Seeing Narad passing by, the damsels of heaven covered their bodies with cloth, but the two sons, being drunkards, did not have this decency. Narad became angry with their behavior and cursed them thus, quote, You have no sense, so it is better if you become trees instead of the sons of Kuvera. Unquote. Upon hearing this, the boys came to their senses and begged Narad to be pardoned for their offenses. Narad then said, quote, Yes, you shall become trees, Arjun trees, and you will stand in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. But Krishna himself will appear in time as the foster son of Nanda, and he will deliver you. Unquote. In other words, the curse of Narad was a benediction to the sons of Kuvera, because indirectly it was foretold that they would be able to receive the favor of Lord Krishna. After that, Kuvera's two sons stood as two big Arjun trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj until Lord Damodar, in order to fulfill the desire of Narad, dragged the grinding mortar to which he was tied and struck the two trees, violently causing them to fall down. From out of these fallen trees came Nalakuvara and Manigriva, who had by then become great devotees of the Lord. There is a passage in the Higher Shirsha Pancharatra which states, quote, My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I do not want any resultant benediction from my religious life, nor do I want any economic development, nor do I want to enjoy sense gratification, nor liberation. I simply pray to be an eternal servant at your lotus feet. Kindly oblige me and give me this benediction. Unquote. In the same higher Shirsha Pancharatra, after Nrisingadev wanted to give benedictions to Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad did not accept any material benediction and simply asked the favor of the Lord to remain his eternal devotee. In this connection, Prahlad Maharaj cited the example of Hanuman, the eternal servitor of Lord Ramachandra, who also set an example by never asking any material favor from the Lord. He always remained engaged in the Lord's service. This is the ideal character of Hanuman, for which he is still worshipped by all devotees. Prahlad Maharaj also offered his respectful obeisances unto Hanuman. There is a well-known verse spoken by Hanuman in which he says, quote, "My dear Lord, if you like, you can give me salvation from this material existence or the privilege of merging into your existence, but I do not wish any of these things. I do not want anything which diminishes my relationship with you as servant to master, even after liberation." Unquote. In a similar passage in the Narada Pancharatra, it is stated, quote, "My dear Lord, I do not wish any perfectional stage by performing the ritualistic religious ceremonies, or by economic development, or by sense gratification or liberation. I simply pray that you grant me the favor of keeping me under your lotus feet. I do not wish any kind of liberation, such as Salokya, to reside on your planet, or Sarupya, to have the same bodily features as you. I simply pray for your favor that I may be always engaged in your loving service." Unquote. Similarly, in the 6th canto, 14th chapter, verse 5 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Pariksit inquires from Shukdev Goswami, quote, "My dear Brahman, I understand that the demon Vritrasura was a greatly sinful person, and that his mentality was completely absorbed in the modes of passion and ignorance. How did he develop to such a perfectional stage of devotional service to Narayan? I have heard that even great persons who have undergone severe austerities and who are liberated with full knowledge must strive to become devotees of the Lord. It is understood that such persons are very rare and almost never to be seen. So I am astonished that Vritrasura became such a devotee." Unquote. In the above verse, the most important thing to be noted is that there may be many liberated persons who have merged into the existence of the impersonal Brahman. But a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is very, very rare. Even out of millions of liberated persons, only one is fortunate enough to become a devotee. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 8th Chapter, verse 20, Queen Kunti is praying to Lord Krishna at the time of his departure, quote, "My dear Krishna, you are so great that you are inconceivable even to great stalwart scholars and paramahansas, or fully liberated souls. So if such great sages, who are transcendental to all the reactions of material existence, are unable to know you, as far as we are concerned, belonging to a woman class, how is it possible for us to know your glories? How can we understand you?" Unquote. In this verse, the particular thing to be noted is that the personality of Godhead is not understood by great liberated persons, but only by devotees such as Queen Kunti in her humbleness. Although she was a woman and was considered less intelligent than a man, still she realized the glories of Krishna. That is the purport of this verse. Another passage which is very important is in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 7th chapter, verse 10, and is called the Atmaram verse. In this Atmaram verse, it is stated that even those who are completely liberated from material contamination are attracted by the transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna. The purport of this verse is that a liberated soul has absolutely no desire at all for material enjoyment. He is wholly freed from all kinds of material desires, yet still he is irresistibly attracted by the desire to hear and understand the pastimes of the Lord. We may therefore conclude that the glories and pastimes of the Lord are not material. Otherwise, how could the liberated persons, known as Atmarams, be attracted by such pastimes? That is the important point in this verse. From the above statement, it is found that a devotee is not after any of the stages of liberation. There are five stages of liberation already explained as being 1. To become one with the Lord, 2. To live on the same planet as the Lord, 3. To obtain the same bodily features as the Lord, 4. To have the same opulences as the Lord, and 5. To have constant association with the Lord. Out of these five liberated stages, the one which is known as Sayujya, or to merge into the existence of the Lord, is the last to be accepted by a devotee. The other four liberations, although not desired by devotees, still are not against the devotional ideals. Some of the liberated persons who have achieved these four stages of liberation may also develop affection for Krishna and be promoted to the Goloka Vrindavan planet in the spiritual sky. In other words, those who are already promoted to the Vaikuntha planets and who possess the four kinds of liberation may also sometimes develop affection for Krishna and become promoted to Krishna Loka. So those who are in the four liberated states may still be going through different stages of existence. In the beginning, they may want the opulences of Krishna, but at the mature stage, the dormant love for Krishna exhibited in Vrindavan becomes prominent in their hearts. As such, the pure devotees never accept the liberation of Sayujya to become one with the Supreme, though sometimes they may accept as favorable the other four liberated states. Out of many kinds of devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the one who is attracted to the original form of the Lord, Krishna in Vrindavan, is considered to be the foremost first-class devotee. Such a devotee is never attracted by the opulences of Vaikuntha, or even of Dwarka, the royal city where Krishna ruled. The conclusion of Sri Rupa Goswami is that the devotees who are attracted by the pastimes of the Lord in Gokul or Vrindavan are the topmost devotees. It may be noted that Vrindavan is the transcendental place where Krishna enjoys his eternal pastimes as a boy, and it is considered the topmost sphere in all existence. When this Vrindavan is exhibited in the material world, the place is called Gokul, and in the spiritual world, it is called Goloka or Goloka Vrindavan. A devotee who is attached to a particular form of the Lord does not wish to redirect his devotion to other forms. For example, Hanuman, the devotee of Lord Ramchandra, knew that there is no difference between Lord Ramchandra and Lord Narayan, and yet he still wanted to render service only unto Lord Ramchandra. That is due to the specific attraction of a particular devotee. There are many, many forms of the Lord, but Krishna is still the original form. Though all of the devotees of the different forms of the Lord are in the same category, Still, it is said that those who are devotees of Lord Krishna are the topmost in the list of all devotees. And now chapter 5, the purity of devotional service.
Lokanam hitakaranam tribhuvane mannam saranyakaranam nana sastravicharanikanipanam.
All of the previous instructions imparted by Srila Rupa Goswami in his broad statements can be summarized thus. As long as one is materially inclined or desirous of merging into the spiritual effulgence, one cannot enter into the realm of pure devotional service. Next, Rupa Goswami states that devotional service is transcendental to all material considerations, and that it is not limited to any particular country, class, society, or circumstance. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is transcendental and has no cause. Devotional service is executed without any hope for gain, and it cannot be checked by any material circumstances. It is open for all, without any distinction, and it is the constitutional occupation of the living entities. In the Middle Ages, after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya's great associate, Lord Nityananda, a class of priestly persons claimed to be the descendants of Nityananda, calling themselves the Goswami caste. They further claimed that the practice and spreading of devotional service belonged only to their particular class, which was known as Nityananda Vamsha. In this way, they exercised their artificial power for some time, until Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, the powerful acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, completely smashed their idea. There was a great hard struggle for some time, but it has turned out successfully, and it is now correctly and practically established that devotional service is not restricted to a particular class of men. Besides that, anyone who is engaged in devotional service is already at the status of being a high-class Brahmin. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's struggle for this movement has come out successful. It is on the basis of his position that anyone can now become a Gaudiya Vaishnav from any part of the world or any part of the universe. Anyone who is a pure Vaishnav is situated transcendentally, and therefore the highest qualification in the material world, namely to be in the mode of goodness, has already been achieved by such a person. Our Krishna consciousness movement in the Western world is based on the above-mentioned proposition of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Prabhupada, our spiritual master. On his authority, we are claiming members from all sections of the Western countries. The so-called Brahmins claim that one who is not born into a Brahmin family cannot receive the sacred thread and cannot become a high-grade Vaishnav. But we do not accept such a theory because it is not supported by Rupa Goswami nor by the strength of the various scriptures. Srila Rupa Goswami specifically mentions herein that every man has the birthright to accept devotional service and to become Krishna conscious. He has given many evidences from many scriptures, and he has especially quoted one passage from Padma Purana, wherein the sage Vasishtha tells King Dilipa, quote, "My dear king, everyone has the right to execute devotional service, just as he has the right to take early bath in the month of Magha or December, January," unquote. There is more evidence in the Skanda Purana, in the Kashi Kanda portion, where it is said, quote, in the country known as Mayuradvaj, the lower caste people who are considered less than Shudras are also initiated in the Vaishnav cult of devotional service. And when they are properly dressed, with tilak on their bodies and beads in their hands and on their necks, they appear to be coming from Vaikuntha. In fact, they look so very beautiful that immediately they surpass the ordinary Brahmins. Unquote. Thus, a Vaishnav automatically becomes a Brahmin. This idea is also supported by Sanatan Goswami in his book Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is the Vaishnav guide. Therein, he has clearly stated that any person who is properly initiated into the Vaishnav cult certainly becomes a Brahmin as much as the metal known as kamsa or bell metal is turned into gold by the mixture of mercury. A bona fide spiritual master, under the guidance of authorities, can turn anyone to the Vaishnav cult so that naturally he may come to the topmost position of a Brahmin. Srila Rupa Goswami warns, however, that if a person is properly initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, he should not think that simply by the acceptance of such initiation his business is then finished. One still has to follow the rules and regulations very carefully. If after accepting the spiritual master and being initiated, one does not follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, then he is again fallen. One must be very vigilant to remember that he is the part and parcel of the transcendental body of Krishna, and that it is his duty as part and parcel to give service to the whole or Krishna. If we do not render service to Krishna, then again we fall down. In other words, simply becoming initiated does not elevate one to the position of a high-class Brahmin. One also has to discharge the duties and follow the regulative principles very rigidly. Sri Rupa Goswami also says that if one is regularly discharging devotional service, there will be no question of a fall down. But even if circumstantially there is some fall down, the Vaishnav need have nothing to do with the prayaschitta, the ritualistic ceremony for purification. If someone falls down from the principles of devotional service, he need not take to the prayaschitta performances for reformation. He simply has to execute the rules and regulations for discharging devotional service, and this is sufficient for his reinstatement. This is the mystery of the Vaishnav or devotional cult. Practically, there are three processes for elevating one to the platform of spiritual consciousness. These processes are called karma, jnana, and bhakti. Ritualistic performances are in the field of karma. Speculative processes are in the field of jnana. One who has taken to bhakti, the devotional service of the Lord, need have nothing to do with karma or jnana. It has been already explained that pure devotional service is without any tinge of karma or jnana. Bhakti should have no tinge of philosophical speculation or ritualistic performances. In this connection, Srila Rupa Goswami gives evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 21st chapter, verse 2, in which Lord Krishna says to Uddhava, quote, the distinction between qualification and disqualification may be made in this way. Persons who are already elevated in discharging devotional service will never again take shelter of the processes of fruitive activity or philosophical speculation. If one sticks to devotional service and is conducted by regulative principles given by the authorities and acharyas, that is the best qualification. Unquote. This statement is supported in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 5th Chapter, verse 17, wherein Sri Narad Muni advises Vyasadev thus, quote, "Even if one does not execute his specific occupational duty, but immediately takes direct shelter of the lotus feet of Hari or Krishna, there will be no fault on his part, and in all circumstances his position is secure. Even if, by some bad association, he falls down while executing devotional service, or if he doesn't finish the complete course of devotional service and dies untimely, still he is not at a loss. A person who is simply discharging his occupational duty in varna and ashram, however, with no Krishna consciousness, practically does not gain the true benefit of human life." Unquote. The purport is that all conditioned souls who are engaged very frantically in activities for sense gratification, without knowing that this process will never help them get out of material contamination, are awarded only with repeated births and deaths. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clearly stated by Rishabhadev to his sons, quote, "Persons engaged in fruitive activities are repeatedly accepting birth and death, and until they develop a loving feeling for Vasudeva, there will be no question of getting out from these stringent laws of material nature." Unquote. As such, any person who is very seriously engaged in his occupational duties in the varnas and ashrams, and who does not develop love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, should be understood to be simply spoiling his human form of life. This is confirmed also in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, verse 32, in which the Lord says to Uddhava, quote, "My dear Uddhava, any person who takes shelter of me in complete surrender and follows my instructions, giving up all occupational duties, is to be considered the first-class man." Unquote. In this statement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is understood that people who are generally attracted to philanthropic, ethical, moral, altruistic, political, and social welfare activities may be considered nice men only in the calculation of the material world. From Srimad Bhagavatam and other authentic Vedic scriptures, we learn further that if a person simply acts in Krishna consciousness and discharges devotional service, he is considered to be far, far better situated than all of those persons engaged in philanthropic, ethical, moral, altruistic, and social welfare activities. The same thing is still more emphatically confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 5th chapter, verse 41, in which Karabhajan Muni addresses Maharaj Nimi as follows. Quote, "My dear king, if someone gives up his occupational duties as they are prescribed for the different varnas and ashrams, but takes complete shelter, surrendering himself unto the lotus feet of the Lord, such a person is no more a debtor, nor has he any obligation to perform the different kinds of activities we render to the great sages, ancestors, living entities, and family and society members. Nor has he any need to bother executing the five kinds of yajñas or sacrifices for becoming free from sinful contamination. Simply by discharging devotional service, he is freed from all kinds of obligations." Unquote. The purport is that as soon as a man takes his birth, he is immediately indebted to so many sources. He is indebted to the great sages because he profits by reading their authoritative scriptures and books. For example, we take advantage of the books written by Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva has left for us all the Vedas. Before Vyasadeva's writing, the Vedic literature was simply heard, and the disciples would learn the mantras quickly by hearing and not by reading. Later on, Vyasadeva thought it wise to write down the Vedas, because in this age people are short-memoried and unable to remember all the instructions given by the spiritual master. Therefore, he left all the Vedic knowledge in the form of books such as the Puranas, Vedanta, Mahabharata, and Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many other sages like Shankaracharya, Gautama Muni, and Narad Muni, to whom we are indebted because we take advantage of their knowledge. Similarly, we are obliged to our forefathers because we take our birth in a particular family where we take all advantages and inherit property. Therefore, we are indebted to the forefathers and have to offer them pinda or prasad after they are dead. Similarly, to the people in general, we are also indebted, as well as to our relatives, friends, and even animals such as cows and dogs who render us so much service. In this way, we are indebted to the demigods, to the forefathers, to the sages, to the animals, and to society in general. It is our duty to repay them all by proper discharge of service. But by the one stroke of devotional service, if someone gives up all obligations and simply surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is no longer a debtor nor obliged to any other source of benefit. In Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord says, quote, "Give up all your occupations and just become surrendered unto me. I give you assurance that I shall give you protection from all sinful reactions," unquote. One may think that because he is surrendering unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will not be able to perform all of his other obligations. But the Lord says repeatedly, quote, "Don't hesitate. Don't consider that because you are giving up all other engagements, there will be some flaw in your life. Don't think like that. I will give you all protection," unquote. That is the assurance of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. There is additional evidence in the Agastya Samhita. Quote, "As the regulative principles of scripture are not required by a liberated person, so the ritualistic principles indicated in the Vedic supplements are also not required for a person duly engaged in the service of Lord Ramachandra." Unquote. In other words, the devotees of Lord Ramachandra, or Krishna, are already liberated persons and are not required to follow all the regulative principles mentioned in the ritualistic portions of the Vedic literature. Similarly, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th chapter, verse 42, Karabhajan Muni addresses King Nimi and says, quote, "My dear king, a person who has given up the worship of the demigods and has completely concentrated his energy in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has become very, very dear to the Lord. As such, if by chance or mistake he does something which is forbidden, there is no need for him to perform any purificatory ceremonies. Because the Lord is situated within his heart, he takes compassion for the devotee's accidental mistake and corrects him from within." Unquote. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in many places that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, takes a special interest in his devotees and declares emphatically that nothing can cause his devotees to fall down. He is always protecting them.
జనప్రియం ప్రియకరం నిర్మాసరౌ పూజితం నానా శాస్త్ర విచారణైక నిపుణం సద్ధర్మ సంస్థాపన.
And now chapter 6, how to discharge devotional service.
త్రిభువని మన్నం శరణ్యాకరం నానాశాస్త్ర విచారణీకనికనం సద్ధర్మ సంస్థాపక.
Srila Rupa Goswami states that his elder brother, Sanatan Goswami, has compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas for the guidance of the Vaishnavas, and therein has mentioned many rules and regulations to be followed by the Vaishnavas. Some of them are very important and prominent, and Srila Rupa Goswami will now mention those very important items for our benefit. The purport of this statement is that Srila Rupa Goswami proposes to mention only basic principles, not details. For example, a basic principle is that one has to accept a spiritual master. Exactly how one follows the instructions of his spiritual master is considered a detail. For example, if one is following the instruction of his spiritual master, and that instruction is different from the instructions of another spiritual master, this is called detailed information. But the basic principle of acceptance of a spiritual master is good everywhere, although the details may be different. Srila Rupa Goswami does not wish to enter into details here, but wants to place before us only the principles. He mentions the basic principles as follows. 1. Accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. 2. Becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. 3. Obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. 4. Following in the footsteps of great acharyas or teachers under the direction of the spiritual master. 5. Inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. 6. Being prepared to give up anything material for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This means that when we are engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, we must be prepared to give up something which we may not like to give up, and also we have to accept something which we may not like to accept. 7. Residing in a sacred place of pilgrimage like Dwarka or Vrindavan. 8. Accepting only what is necessary, or dealing with the material world only as far as is necessary. 9. Observing the fasting day on Ekadashi. And 10. Worshipping sacred trees like the banyan tree. These 10 items are preliminary necessities for beginning the discharge of devotional service in regulative principles. In the beginning, if a neophyte devotee observes the above-mentioned 10 principles, surely he will quickly make good advancement in Krishna consciousness. The next set of instructions is listed as follows. 1. One should rigidly give up the company of non-devotees. 2. One should not instruct a person who is not desirous of accepting devotional service. 3. One should not be very enthusiastic about constructing costly temples or monasteries. 4. One should not try to read too many books, nor should one develop the idea of earning his livelihood by lecturing on or professionally reciting Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. 5. One should not be neglectful in ordinary dealings. 6. One should not be under the spell of lamentation in loss or jubilation in gain. 7. One should not disrespect the demigods. 8. One should not give unnecessary trouble to any living entity. 9. One should carefully avoid the various offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord or in worshiping the deity in the temple. 10. One should be very intolerant toward the blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or his devotees. Without following the above-mentioned 10 principles, one cannot properly elevate himself to the platform of sadhana bhakti, or devotional service in practice. Altogether, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions 20 items, and all of them are very important. Out of the 20, the first three, namely accepting the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, taking initiation from him, and serving him with respect and reverence, are the most important. The next important items are as follows. 1. One should decorate the body with tilak, which is the sign of the Vaishnavas. The idea is that as soon as a person sees these marks on the body of the Vaishnav, he will immediately remember Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said that a Vaishnav is he who, when seen, reminds one of Krishna. Therefore, it is essential that a Vaishnav mark his body with tilak to remind others of Krishna. 2. In marking such tilak, sometimes one may write Hare Krishna on the body. 3. One should accept flowers and garlands that have been offered to the deity and the spiritual master and put them on one's body. 4. One should learn to dance before the deity. 5. One should learn to bow down immediately upon seeing the deity or the spiritual master. 6. As soon as one visits a temple of Lord Krishna, one must stand up.